Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I am so excited, really excited about our guest today. I have Kara Mayer Robinson with me, and she is a celebrity interviewer, TV talk show host, and host and producer of the TV and film talent interview show, Really Famous. Kara interviews A-listers like Spike Lee, Joe Mantegna, Michael Rapaport, Tippi Hedren, and Tim Gunn for television, podcasts, digital media, print, and live events. Her interviews are like no other. Intimate, surprising, fun, authentic, and revealing. Celebrities adore her, and listeners can't get enough. It is my pleasure to welcome Kara to our show today.
Hi, Belinda.
Hi.
So great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure you've got a lot of delightful stories to share with us. But why don't we just take a moment and fill in some of those gaps from your bio and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey, how you got to be doing what you're doing today.
Sure. It was not a direct route. So there were definitely a lot of twists and turns. I'm going to kind of shorten it to some degree. Otherwise, we could spend a long time just on my journey here. But I started out as a therapist. So I had my own practice. I would sit down with somebody for an hour, week after week, and hear all about what was really going on in their lives, what their struggles were, and help them figure themselves out. So I did that for a while. I started writing on the side. I did it for newspapers and magazines. And the more I did that, the more interested I got in writing. And not so much writing, but I really loved interviewing people. So as I went through my writing, I sort of fell into this niche of doing profiles, deep dive sort of with actors, actually. It kind of happened accidentally, I guess, except for the fact that I have always been obsessed with movies and television. So it wasn't really surprising. So I did many, many, many of these types of stories. And then eventually decided to turn it into a podcast because the publishing industry was changing so rapidly and magazines and newspapers were shuttering. And I knew that I had to reinvent. And so I started the podcast. And now that's evolving as well. I'm doing live shows in addition to it. So it's sort of like Inside the Actor's Studio, but a lot more fun, a lot more, I'm not criticizing Inside the Actor's Studio, but it's fun, it's conversational, real, and we're doing it for the podcast. I do it for YouTube videos and also now live shows in New York.
That is exciting. That's just, now it's really, I love that you shared that because people hear about people's success sometimes or now that they just have this famous podcast and then they're like, how do I even get there? But it takes a lot of time. And so I'd love it if you could just give our listeners sort of a time reference from the time that you were a therapist to today. What's that time frame look like?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so condensed when I tell you that story of the background, but it was many years in between. I think that you're right. A lot of people do. When you see a successful person, you often think it just happened pretty quickly. But I can tell you, since I've interviewed so many successful people, that it doesn't usually happen quickly. It's usually a very long haul, even for the most successful people. I actually interviewed one person only once who literally became famous overnight, or I think it was in three nights. He was a musician and was basically discovered by Ellen DeGeneres and Ashton Kutcher from performing at his school talent show, I think it was. He was the only person. Everyone else has had years and years going. So I was a therapist probably for, I'm going to say 10 years, but I may be off on that. But I can tell you that I was writing for years. I'm going to guess 5, maybe 6, something like that. More, I don't even know. A lot of them were overlapping years before I decided to start the podcast. So I'm a little more clear on the podcast years because I know exactly when I started it. It was almost 3 years ago. So I started forming the podcast in, I think it was about October, November. I started getting my ideas together. October, November of... I guess it was 2016 because I launched it in the spring of 2017. It's almost 3 years old.
Oh, that is fantastic. And that's the other thing that I think people want to be an expert today. That's what they say is, oh, well, I have a really passion for this and I think I could be a coach or I could be an expert in this particular area. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you got to kind of be an expert. Like you have to have some experience in some of those things in order to be that qualified coach or to be what you want to be. And so I'm always encouraging people to really find your expertise in something and really dive deep into that so that you can then take that experiential knowledge and help deliver that to other individuals.
Sure. It does take time. At the same time, I did take a few leaps, I have to admit, which were not qualified leaps, to tell you the truth. So I did not go to journalism school. Okay. I started writing on the side when I was a therapist. So I just did it. I researched how to do it. Believe me, I didn't just start writing. I really did quite a bit of research into my first idea was actually to write a book. So I figured out how to pitch literary agents. I figured out how to write a book proposal. I wrote a sample chapter and outlined the whole thing, figured out where to try to find these agents. And I reached out to so many of them. So I didn't have a journalism degree, but at the same time, I did my research on it. And then I did learn as I was going.
Right.
Somebody who tends to be very, I absorb a lot myself. I am kind of self-taught in a lot of ways. At the same time, I have the qualifications, like I am a licensed therapist and I do have a master's in psychology, in developmental psychology from Columbia University. So it's not like I'm going out there with nothing, but at the same time, writing was definitely a leap. And then when I turned it into the podcast, it was really like, I had no idea what a podcast entails. And we were talking earlier, it's like, I don't think many people realize just how much goes on behind the scenes of a podcast, and especially the technical know-how. Like I had no idea. I still struggle, to be honest. I still struggle with the technical aspects of it. It doesn't always come that naturally to me, but it's just one of those things you have to learn how to roll with, I guess.
Absolutely. I was very fortunate in my particular situation that my husband is a recording engineer and does mastering.
Sweet.
I know. So we have a studio so right in our house, and he's able to do all of that back work because I tell you, it would have been a lot slower going for us. That is another big piece of it that you really need to know how. There's so many pieces to it, but I do think that you need to surround yourself with people that at least know what they're doing if you don't know how to do it yourself.
Yeah, I did a lot of like research on the podcast too. I did try to figure it out. I listened to podcasts about podcasting. I went to like the National Association of Broadcasters had a conference or a couple of conferences where they had a whole podcasting section. So I did my research on that too, so that I could like, you're so right about immersing yourself with people who really know what they're talking about. If you don't, it just takes you to that next level that much faster.
Yep, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your business and how it is shaped your lifestyle today.
Okay. So I guess it's just created in a way that works for me. So it's, you know, an independently run business. I answer to myself and I am sort of the architect of everything. I don't necessarily design everything, in advance. Things happen along the way, but it is very flexible, I guess, because that's just my approach to it. You know, I do want balance in my life and I have kids and I'm married and have a dog, the whole thing. So I like to do it all or close to it, I guess. But because it's my own business, it allows me to live in the way that I like to live.
Very good. So what do you think, have you identified, like of all the different skill sets that are required in owning your own business, have you discovered your like a superpower? Like what are your greatest skill sets that you think have really helped propel you forward?
So I think I would say flexibility is key, and also persistence. And I can tell you from the people that I've interviewed on my show too, that without question, those are the two keys. I think the one key ingredient I would have to say, and some people have asked me, like, what's the one similarity you see in the famous guests that you've interviewed? And more so than the actors, I see it with the, like, people who've been on TV and are very successful. For example, Daymond John from Shark Tank, or, I'm blanking out right now, Cesar Millan, who's the dog whisperer. Like, people like that have worked so hard. They're so driven, and they've always had their eyes on success. And so they just keep going, and they persist, and they don't give up. It doesn't just happen accidentally. So it's like, I always look at people like Oprah, and you think that Oprah just fell into it and was discovered. She absolutely wasn't. That's not how it was. She worked her butt off. And that's what I think almost every successful person has in common. So for me, I'm very persistent. I keep going if I believe in it and I like it. I love what I do. So it comes easily to me. Like, I'm happy to work hard at what I'm doing because it's great. I love it. I don't know that I'd feel that way if it wasn't something I'm passionate about. So that is a key ingredient. And then I guess learning how to be flexible, because nothing is as you plan it necessarily. And that works for my personality. It doesn't work for everybody though. You know, some people would much prefer a little more structure and reliability, I guess, in what they're doing in their business.
Absolutely. But I do think that what I see in that is some people sort of equate this flexibility to then not setting any particular goals. I've seen this. I'm not saying you do, but people do. They're like, I'll just go with it, you know, and then what happens, happens. But I really do think that you need to have those destination points that you really want to strive to, and just know that there may be another route to get there. When that first sort of path isn't working exactly the way you thought, be willing to be flexible to change your path. But it's still very important to have those sort of benchmarks or milestones of where you'd like to head.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I can give you an example too, that I have basically a vision board. It's not a vision board. It's more of a priority board, mm-hmm. a big bulletin board. I actually have three of them. And when I started that board and I put up my priorities, like, what are the three or four things that I really want to focus on from here on out that I think are going to really help the business be successful? And I put them up there with little square, like with colorful index cards. Mm-hmm. And then underneath each item, I had little kind of sort of smaller steps that would be required for each of them. And once I did that, it really did help me stay focused on what not to waste my time on and what to keep pushing towards. And it didn't even take that many times of me looking at it for it to actually start to really sink in. And now I just naturally go towards those priorities, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes 100% sense. I'm always talking to people about goals and vision and how they are different. Like, vision is like that big picture. And then those goals are those like index cards that you're talking about. Okay, this is my action steps I need to take today if I want to get to this big picture. And I always say you need to have that big picture in front of you so you can see it every day, because, you know, life happens and things, every one of us, like, just because you're successful doesn't mean you're exempt from any illnesses or things happening with your family or a variety of things. And you just need to have that in front of you that sort of gets you up and keeps you going and keeps you excited and keeps you happy and all those other things. So I agree with that 100%. And that's a really great example of that. What's one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that's super meaningful for you?
I think I would say the being able to have established this show that I have now is major. Sometimes I look back and I think, this is so weird. Like, I actually have created an Inside the Actor studio for myself. And I have all kinds of celebrities who I book on the show, and I get to have these amazing conversations. And I sort of look back and think, wow. I mean, believe me, it didn't just happen. Like I said before, it didn't just happen to me. I made it happen, but it is pretty, it's pretty impressive to myself, I guess, when I look at it and think I never would have seen that for myself. 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, definitely not.
That's awesome. So share with us a little bit. Do you ever get starstruck, or are you like, I can't believe I'm interviewing this person? And then how do you land big interviews like that?
Yeah, so I get a little starstruck sometimes, less so now, I guess, since I've met so many people. But I can tell you that one of my days of being very starstruck was when I met Spike Lee. So that was, I was intimidated before I even met him. I think he was up for an Oscar like a week later or less than a week later. And I was going out to his offices in Brooklyn, and it was Spike Lee. I mean, so accomplished. And I was very nervous. So I think it did sort of affect the way that I interviewed him a little bit, because I, you know, at the same time, I look back and I think the interview went well, and, you know, he was really good to me at the end, et cetera, et cetera. But I was definitely starstruck by him. As when I sat in Tippi Hedren's house in California on her like animal preserve, I couldn't believe I was doing that. This is the woman who starred in Hitchcock's movie, The Birds. And I really, like, it was just her and me just sitting down having a real conversation. It was incredible. And so another person who, strangely, I think looking back, I was starstruck by is Michael Imperioli. He played Christopher in The Sopranos, which was, you know, a big show. I'm not sure if you watched it. Did you watch The Sopranos?
I did a little bit. I didn't watch it all the way through the entire thing, but there were periods of time where I watched it consistently.
Well, you definitely saw him because he played Christopher Moltisanti, one of the main characters. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because of who his character was. I don't know. But when I met him for the first time, this was about 2 years ago, I think I was nervous, and he wasn't very talkative. And of course, it's much easier to interview somebody when they're a talkative person. Mm-hmm. And he was more of a man of few words. And so by the end of the show, I felt like he probably did not have a great time doing this podcast. And then he surprised me later by thanking me for it. And we talked a little bit afterwards. And then a year later, I was doing a highlight reel, a video reel for Really Famous. And I asked him if he would be on it. I was like, I have to have him on it. And we only did a podcast, so I don't have a video of him. So I asked him to come in and do like a 5-minute taping with me. And he said, sure. And then at that point, we decided we would just, we were there together, so why not just do another podcast? So we did a second podcast. And by the end, it was like we were really friends. And in fact, so much so that when I did my first live show, it was last weekend, actually, and he was the one who suggested that I do it. So he was my guest. We did it together. And he's become one of my greatest guests, of course. And it all started with me feeling super starstruck in a room with somebody from The Sopranos.
That's awesome. I love those stories. And so, gosh, just saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to reach out to really famous people and get them on my show, like, that has to take some persistence and determination. But, you know, where do you even begin?
Yeah. So the celebrity bookings are not easy. It is definitely not for the faint of heart. At the same time, I sort of feel like it's a game. It's kind of like hunting for the kill or whatever, because I do have fun with it. And I do set my eyes on certain people. I'm like, oh, they look like they'd be so interesting in real life. I've got to interview them in real life, because that's my whole thing, is I see them on the screen and I feel like I sense that there's either a very deep person there or a fun person or somebody really fascinating. And that's the therapist in me too. I want to know that whole person, not just what I see there. So sometimes I'm searching them, I'm seeking them out. Other times I'm pitched celebrities by publicists and managers and whatnot. So it's a combination of both, but it did start when I was writing. So I was writing for the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. I was writing for the Hollywood Reporter. So I had already been working with celebrities and interviewing them. So when I started my show, it wasn't like I was doing it cold. I'd already known how to have these relationships with people, and they understood me, that they could trust me, and their celebrity clients, let's say, they felt good with me. So they knew I wasn't like a gotcha journalist. I wasn't trying to get a little headline clickbait or whatever. I was all about having the real conversation. So I made a reputation for myself in certain circles. And so they appreciated what I was doing. And pretty much always I bring out the best in a guest, which is good for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not hurting anybody. Everybody feels good. Lots of times when they're done with recording an interview, they're like, okay, how much do I owe you? I feel like I just had a therapy session. I feel so much better now. So, you know, there's a benefit for everybody, but it did start back when I was writing, and just them learning how to trust me.
And trust is usually the key to everything. Like, you could take trust and peel any onion of any kind of business, and a lot of the success is based on the trust that the individuals around you have that are going to do business with you, that are going to refer you to others to do business. And people sometimes miss that piece, and it's huge.
It's huge. But I will also say that what people should know is that I also get a lot of rejection. So there's a lot of that. I'm told no all the time, and I have been for years and years and years. So you just have to take them with a grain of salt and not get set back. There are days when I feel set back, believe me, when I'm like, oh, I haven't booked anybody in however long, and it's a bummer. But you have to keep going after that. Pick yourself and keep going, because that's part of the gig.
And the yes is just around the corner, right?
Yeah. And then the yes comes, and it's like, yes, now everything's fine. Now I understand all these no's. They were there for a reason. It was all going to be okay. So, and then there are times when I have an overabundance, and there's really like no time to run everybody's because I have so much. And so it's up and it's down. And that's why I said being flexible is key, because you have to go with those ups and downs and not let them sink you or propel you too far off track.
Absolutely. So then share with us a challenge that you have faced and how you worked through that.
So, the bookings can be a challenge. I think that's fresh in my mind since we were just talking about it. I think a lot of the challenge at the beginning was believing in myself. So will people actually listen to this podcast? So is this going to happen? How am I going to get it out there? I have no platform. How would I ever do that? So it really was just kind of a leap of faith. And a good friend of mine, her name is Eliana, and she said to me, listen, I know you don't think that people are going to listen to you, but do you think that what you do with celebrities, these conversations you have with them, do you think that people will want to hear them? Do you think they're valuable? And like without question, I knew they were, because I've been interviewing for years, and I knew it's fascinating. People will love these conversations because they love even the small bits that I would pull out for articles. But that this is so much juicier because it's a whole, let's say, hour conversation with somebody who's famous, who you have no idea who they really are. So that helped me just kind of keep going, even though I was doubting that I would be able to get people to listen. And so that really was pretty key in the beginning, I would say. That was a big challenge. So, and then getting the word out is a challenge. You know, it's always a challenge. It's still a challenge. It does take time. And I do remember other people telling me who are more established, like it's going to be years before the podcast really has a strong following. And, I kept going. And then this year I have really seen a big difference. And, when you look back, it's like, that's really not a long time. But when you're in that first year and you're like, oh boy, like, how am I going to get these numbers that I know that, you know, are the numbers that everybody's looking for. Mm-hmm. But then you also realize that it's beyond the numbers. There's a lot of opportunity that comes up just because of having a podcast.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what's working from your happy place mean to you? I think I have a pretty good idea, but this is our key question of the show.
Well, I think that my whole life is about working from my happy place. So everything that this entire show that I have, Really Famous, is my happy place. I couldn't be happier. Don't get me wrong. I would rather not spend days sitting in front of a computer doing whatever it is, whether it's editing touch-ups or it's research or email or whatever it is, not my favorite thing to do. However, the fact that I can go out and have these deep conversations with fascinating people is just wonderful for me. And it doesn't just feel like, oh, it's so cool that I get to meet celebrities. But when I come home after interviewing someone or being out and talking to people I'm working with, for example, I just started working with the Lee Strasberg Theater and Institute in New York. And it is such a well-respected institute based on Lee Strasberg, who is one of the like founding actors, people. Like, he's just everything. He basically established method acting. I guess that's a shortcut of saying it's a longer story. But so I just started working with them, and just being there and back and forth and having these amazing conversations with the people who work there, it just stimulates me so much. And I come home and I just feel so good. So if I could do that every day and not have to do the behind the scenes work, that'd be amazing. But yeah, that is my happy place. I live there.
That's awesome. So what advice would you give to others that are wanting to be entrepreneurs? Maybe they want to do something different than what they're currently doing, or maybe they're even like yourself. You were in one place as a therapist, but how do you take maybe a job like that, that maybe they're not 100% happy in, but enjoy, and turn that into something that they love?
That's a good question. I have always been of the mindset that you only have one life. And so to be unhappy in your work feels not wrong. I don't think wrong is the word, but it just feels, it just doesn't feel good. So I am the mindset of go find your passion. Now, there are a million reasons not to find your passion if your job, you know, whatever it is, if you have limitations and you need the job for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, health benefits, or it's, you know, you have to take care of other people, whatever it is, there are reasons to stay put, I'm sure. But at the same time, if you have flexibility, I say go for it. And so it's different. What does it look like for everyone? And it's different. So it depends on what they're doing and how they can do it. I think, though, that the more you live an inspired life, the more that you get inspiration. So if you're doing more things that make you feel good, I think you'll find more that make you feel good. It's like that law of attraction, right? You put very good things out there and good vibes, and suddenly it's like you're experiencing and you're seeing many more good things come your way. So not to sound like magical or whatever, but I do think that the more you surround yourself with positive people and then people you relate to and do things that make you feel good and nourish your soul, the more that you'll be able to spot what those other things are.
Absolutely. You know, statistics and surveys, different reports show that about 53% of people are unhappy with their job. And I've heard as high as 75% are dissatisfied. So unhappy is 53%. That's over half the people are walking around really going to a job every day that they absolutely do not like, that they feel that they have to. And I think that there's ways to transition, and there's ways, and you certainly did that. There's ways to try your hand at something while you still have your full-time job. But it does takes a lot of commitment and in hustle. It just, if you want to do that, but I think it can be done.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's how I started everything. Basically, I was still doing something else, with the one exception of when I went to school to get my master's. I believe it or not, my undergrad degree is in accounting. Fact.
Wow.
Yeah. So I couldn't be any further away from that, I don't think. But that was what I did. I got an accounting degree. I worked for a bank for a year. I was so miserable. I had the Sunday night blues, could not stand it. It was not the place for me. I just knew it. So I ended up moving and then getting a job at Comedy Central. So Comedy Central, of course, sounds like a happy place. And it is a happy place. It was a happy place, but not for me. It was fine there. I liked the people I was working with. However, I was still not happy doing my job every day because I was in the business department. So I was working numbers with the ad sales. And so that to me just was not feeding my soul. So that's when I decided to make a big change and go to graduate school. So that's the only clean break I had. I was like, this is it for me. I'm not doing accounting or financial work. Quit, went to grad school, worked part-time just to be able to afford it. And then after that, started a private practice. So other times, like when I started the private practice, I was doing many things at once, starting the practice, working for this agency, that agency, doing therapy. So I'm doing it all at the same time. It's how you build a practice. And then as I started writing, I was still a therapist for a long time when I was still writing. I was doing both at the same time. And so, I still write now. I have the show, but I'm still writing. So not as much as I used to, but it is that kind of thing where overlapping is probably the easier way to go with, you know, not for everybody or every field, but it helps.
Absolutely. So What are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners might benefit from? And can you please tell our guests how they can find you and find your podcast?
Sure. So the biggest exciting thing that I'm doing now is these live interviews. So, you know, I'm used to sitting in a room with one other person. Maybe there'll be somebody else tagging along, but usually it's just me and that celebrity having a heart to heart, a real conversation privately, knowing it's going to go public. I mean, we both know that, but at the same time, it's very intimate. The setting is intimate and the conversation is intimate. So I was never planning to do things on stage. However, again, this is the kind of thing that I didn't have that on my board. Now I do. It's on my vision board. But when it started, it wasn't. And then, as I said, when I was meeting with Michael Imperioli, he suggested that I do a live show. So I asked him, I said, Michael, I would really like to take this show to the next level. What do you think I should do? And he said, you should do it in front of a live audience. So that was kind of like he planted a seed, but I didn't really do much with it. And then a few months ago, I was invited to do a brief version of Really Famous on stage at a conference in Los Angeles called Digital Hollywood. So the people there asked me to come on and do like a 20-minute version of the show. So I invited one of the guests I've had on before. His name is Patrick Fabian. He's on Better Call Saul, which is the prequel of Breaking Bad. So he's a great guest. I knew he'd be fun. And I invited him to go on stage with me. He said, sure, I'd be honored. And so we did that on stage and it was so much fun. And as we were walking out together, he said, you should totally do this live at a place like Largo, which is like one of these small venues in Los Angeles. And where they have like maybe comedy shows and other little shows. He said, you should do something like this. Like this would go over really well. So it was like Michael had said it and then Patrick said it. And then at that point, I knew it was time to try it. And so less than a couple months later, I had my first show in New York. And now it's at the top of my vision board. And I'm going to do them regularly. And I had reached out to various venues to see who would be interested in hosting them. And this is how I found Lee Strasberg. And then also the Friars Club in New York, which has a very established, it's like an institution, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. So I have all these live shows that I'm in the process of booking and planning right now. And that, I think, if you're in the New York area and you would want to see a show, then definitely get in touch and sign up for notifications on my website. And then I may be doing them in LA too, and who knows where else. But that's what I'm most excited about right now. And how can they reach me? Everyone can reach me on at reallyfamouspodcast.com. I'm also on social media. I'm definitely, I guess my happier place is on Instagram than the others. Instagram is my happy place when it comes to social media. I don't know why. I just like it. I feel more comfortable there. It seems very upbeat and pleasant. And I like to look at pictures too. So I'm there and you can look me up at Kara Mayer Robinson. And then I'm on Twitter at Kara 1-to-1. And I'm on Facebook at Kara Mayer Robinson. But all the links to all of my social media are also on reallyfamouspodcast.com.
That is fantastic. Well, You have been an absolutely delightful guest. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and wisdom and your energy. That's what's just, I can tell that you really do love what you do. And that's what I love. I love just having people hear that, because for the 50% of people out there that don't enjoy what they do, they certainly do deserve to. So I just
I
know,
I agree.
Right?
I want everybody to be happy. Everybody go there. Everybody find your energy, because it does make life that much better.
It makes it better in every area of your life. That's what we work so much that whatever is happening there, whether we want to or not, we bring it home with us. It affects our personalities and the other relationships that we have. And oh my gosh, people just deserve to be happy. So I just want to remind all of our listeners that if you enjoyed today's show, then please subscribe to our podcast, because then you won't miss a single one of our interviews. And that's what we would love most of all. So again, Kara, thank you so much for being a guest on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.